You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. Every Tuesday and Friday from 1 o'clock to 1:30, we come together and we share prayer, we talk about scripture, and we talk about the things that are close to our heart, right? And things that we're going through in life. And my goodness, this whole year has been something else, to say the least. Brothers and sisters, I like to begin with a prayer, and it's called a morning offering. Oh Jesus, I come before you at the beginning of this day. I gaze at your face. I look upon your side, pierced by the lance. Your wounded heart speaks to me of God's love poured out for us. Take, Lord, and receive my heart, the words of faith that I speak, the works of justice I would do, my joys and offerings. When I come to the Eucharistic table, gather my offerings to your own for the life of the world. At the end of the day, place me with Mary, your mother, and for her sake, take me to your heart. Amen. Isn't that beautiful, brothers and sisters? Yeah, absolutely. So here's my question to you. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is God always testing me? You know, why do I have to seem to go from one trial after another? Have you ever had that? Do you ever feel that? Oh my gosh, it's like the one storm passes and then, whoop, here comes another wave of something else, right? You know, being tested has often, unfortunately, been misunderstood by many. You know, it's clear in the scriptures that God does test us. However, God doesn't send sickness, and he doesn't send disease our way or calamity in our lives to test us. Those things steal and they kill and they destroy. Jesus is the good shepherd who came to give us what? Abundant life. He warned us in John 16 that we would encounter trouble in the world, but then encouraged us by telling us that he had overcome it. Being tested by God is a matter of the heart and for a specific purpose. Understanding why God tests us will empower us to not only endure the tests, but to find joy in them. Scripture bears this out. Has not man a hard surface upon earth? A hard service upon earth? And are not his days like the days of a hireling? This is in Job 7. In fact, from the very beginning of their existence, our first parents were put to the test. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, You may freely eat out of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you should eat of it you shall die. Eve knew that the command applied to her as well as to Adam. This warfare became even more obvious the moment we begin to strive earnestly for holiness. Sirach says, "My child, when you come to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for testing. Set your heart right and be steadfast. Cling to him and do not depart, so that your last days may be prosperous." And here's a hard one for all of us, but it's right in scripture in the book of Sirach, chapter 2. "Accept whatever befalls you, and in times of humiliation, be patient. For gold is tested in the fire, and those found acceptable in the furnace of humiliation. Trust in him, and he will help you. Make your way straight and hope in him." Well, the struggle with trials and temptations, well, you know, brothers and sisters, it's just like riding a bicycle. You're riding downhill requires how much effort? Hardly any at all. And once you get started, you'll coast all along with the pull of the gravity. Just so, living a life of sin usually doesn't require a lot of effort. You let pride and the passions take over, and the rest follows on its own. But if you're riding on a smooth, level surface, it requires only minimum effort, just enough pedaling to overcome the slight resistance of inertia and keep the bike moving steadily. This is a good symbol for lukewarm Catholics who do only enough to keep their outward affiliation with the church, but don't really make any effort to grow in holiness. Riding uphill, however, requires a great deal of effort to overcome the downward pull of gravity. The more the rugged the path, the steep the incline, the more effort is required. And that is true for you and I, who are dedicated Catholics, who strive their faith all the time, who recognize that the spiritual life involves effort. And guess what? In fact, it's warfare. So then why does God allow trials and temptations? Well, the answer is important because it determines how we look at trials on our own lives and how effectively do we deal with them, right? We're all great. We're just so peachy keen when things are going well for us and we're happy and we're smiling and nothing can stop us. And you get in the car and you put on your music and woo, and everything is wonderful. It's all great. And then something hits you, something happens, and you feel like you're in the bottom of a pit. It is essential that we understand that God himself does not tempt anyone. This would be contrary to his holiness. He cannot lead any of us into sin. Temptations come from our three spiritual enemies: the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John, we call these enemies more simply the world, or material things, with their attraction of wealth and power and greed. The flesh, the powerful attraction to sensual pleasures without regard to God's law and purpose for these pleasures. And the devil, or pride, the presumption of self-reliance, like as if, you know, an egotistical vanity. Our trials, and especially our temptations, originate from our disordered inclinations and passions that seek their own satisfaction apart from God. So therefore, God permits us to be, if we're going to conclude this, then God permits us to be tempted so that our love for him may be known. He doesn't need to know if we love him. He already knows that. It is we who need to know if we love him. Every time that we are tempted, we find ourselves faced with the choice to reject or accept his love. Jesus tells us, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me." So if you keep his commandments, you are telling the Lord that you love him. If you disobey his commandments or neglect them, you are rejecting the Lord. But are they really necessary, these temptations? Should we look at them as an asset or a liability in our spiritual growth? Well, God teaches us many things through our temptations. For one thing, facing a temptation and a trial helps us grow in the virtue of humility. Oh, I will tell you, brothers and sisters, after I come home from the 5-month stay in the hospital from a very serious operation, I never had to have a cleaning lady. I worked full-time, 2 children, my husband and I, and we plus we entertained. I never had a cleaning lady. And I will tell you, when I was physically disabled and I had to get a cleaning lady and I had to sit there and watch her, and she would miss a spot on the floor where she was sweeping, dare I tell her? No, I kept quiet. Then she went to wash the floor, and I'd see that it's not as good as I did it. Then she'd wash the dishes. Well, I don't think she rinsed them that well. And it went on and on. And every time, I tell you, my lips were sore from biting them, because I had to learn the hard way that sometimes you have to have some humiliation in your life to appreciate those things that are done for you, and that at least you have your life. And I had a hard time with that. And that, I tell you, I became quite humble. Humility is knowing and accepting the truth about ourselves. I knew I couldn't do the job. I knew I couldn't clean the house. I knew I couldn't cook. I couldn't even stand on my legs. So, brothers and sisters, it's okay. It's okay to admit that, hey, you know, you're only human. You're not super mother or super father or super grandma. Every one of us has our limitations and a point where we say, you know what, I can't do anymore. This is all I can do. And what I can't do, that's fine. That's how God has allowed me to grow and to accept my situation as it is. So as God's creatures, you know, we are dependent on him for both our material and spiritual needs. And Jesus says in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. We can do nothing worthy of salvation without the Lord's grace. And temptations, well, they have a way of showing us our weakness as we struggle to overcome the lure of passion. Right? Our realization of our need for God is heightened in our time of struggle. And this pandemic, I pray that more and more and more people have come to the Lord, and that the Lord is pleased that even though we have so many sad situations in the news that we see, it's tragic. Brothers and sisters, absolutely tragic, and their atrocities. It's just horrible how one human being can treat another human being. It's like animals, and it disturbs me, and it must make our Lord shudder. But this is free will. This is the free will he's given us. But many brothers and sisters have come to see the light, that there is light through all this darkness, and it comes in the name of Jesus. That is our light. He is our stronghold. He is our rock. He is who we lean on for everything and anything. And we thank him for everything and anything. And when we can humble ourselves to say, I need you, Lord, because you know what? I can't do anything, and I am nothing without you. What do we say in Mass? Lord God, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, for I am not worthy. I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. Brothers and sisters, we profess that. We are professing our humility, that we are coming with a humble and a contrite heart in the presence of Almighty God. And when we do that, brothers and sisters, that awesomeness, that fear of knowing that who God really is and what is he able to do and what he has done, then we are just little small pawns, but we are very important pawns in God's eyes, because he created you. He loved you before you came into your mom's womb. She loved you before then. He loved you with all every hair on your head. He knows exactly who you are. Humility helps deflate our ego. Pride caused Lucifer to defy God's command to worship and serve his divine son in his human nature. Lucifer's response to God's command was, "I will not serve." Our first parents also sinned by pride when the devil deceived them into believing that by eating the forbidden fruit, they would become as gods. And through original sin, we have all inherited that desire to be as gods. I can do anything. I'm capable. I'm the smart one. I have talent. I have the gifts. No, you've been bestowed those gifts. You've been given those through the grace of God. All of us, brothers and sisters. This is why God will often humble someone by an oppressive temptation or trial after that person has received some extraordinary grace or accomplished some significant work for the Lord and his church. So, brothers and sisters, this three times St. Paul asked the Lord to take away the violent temptation of lust, but the Lord would not, telling him that his power is made perfect in weakness. The temptation kept him humble. Temptations and trials teach us to persevere in this spiritual life. And when things are going great, our fallen human nature has a tendency to become soft and comfortable. We easily become spiritually negligent and careless. Trials and temptations, they are like a wake-up call. In our wildest dreams, would we ever hear the word social distancing? Washing your hands. Stay safe. Stay strong. Stay inside. Pandemic. We hear these words, brothers and sisters, new to the vocabulary for all of us. Our children know what this is. Our children understand social distancing, a word that we would have never thought that we would be able to say in our lifetime. And here we are, experiencing still the threat of a pandemic coming again, returning. Brothers and sisters, we have nothing to fear because God is in control of everything. And God didn't allow the pandemic, but he is hoping, and I'm sure he's waiting for all of us to come closer to him and spend more time in his presence. I think that's what he wants more than anything else. God loves us, and he doesn't want us to be looking around. He wants us to keep our eyes looking up into heaven. That's what I believe. We can become, as I said, we become spiritually negligent. Finally, temptations and trials, well, they aid our growth in virtue and in practices of piety. And you know something, as you grow closer to our Lord, you hear someone speak in a slanderous way, it sends a chill up your back. Someone who disregards or disses faith or disses Jesus or about Christianity, it hurts you. It bothers you when you hear the word abortion, when you hear the word, you know, I'm entitled to my life and I can, you know, if there's a life inside me, I should be able to make that decision. But God gave you that little baby. At least, you know, to me, bring the baby into the world. And if you can't carry for it, you can't take care of it, then give it to a family who will and love, right? That's what I say. Every child that breathes has a right to live. Now, brothers and sisters, being tested, as I said, by God is a matter of the heart, and it's for a purpose. And when we understand why God tests us, will empower us not only to endure the test, but to find joy. So then when we think about testing, it sounds like a negative thing, doesn't it? Have you ever been nervous to take a test in school? Oh my gosh. That happened to me in university. I must tell you, I was taking history, and I don't know what else I was taking, sociology and whatever. Anyways, the professor called me in one day and he sat me down, such a nice gentleman, such a kind gentleman. He said, Christina, can you please read this for me? And I said, sure. And he handed me this booklet and I started reading this work and I kind of looked at it and I said, well, I'm sorry, sir. I'm having a hard time reading it. And then he turned to the front of the cover. It was an exam booklet that belonged to me. I couldn't read my own writing. I was so nervous that I had scribbled. And he said, what happened? And I said, I'm very nervous when it came to exams. And after that, this is not every professor is, I don't know, but he was a saint. He said to me, you know, Christina, would you prefer if I asked you the questions orally? And it was like the biggest sigh of relief. Of course, I'm a little shy about talking in front of others. And if you believe that, turkeys fly. But that saved me, brothers and sisters. That really saved me, because if it wasn't, I was doomed. Okay, but testing isn't designed to be negative, right? The Cambridge Dictionary, for example, defines test as this: a way of discovering by questions or practical activities what someone knows or what someone or something can do or is like. So it goes on with other definitions, but I wouldn't bore you to that. But passing a test is a joyous occasion when we emerge approved, right? That's how the Bible defines a test. So why do we fear this testing? When we are nervous to be tested, it reveals something about us. Either we are unprepared or we are unaware of what we know. And I think that was for me. I was totally prepared, but unaware of what I did know. And when we're unprepared, we shrink back, expecting to fail the test. And fear is a natural response when we're uncertain of the outcome. And there has been a lot of fear during these days. The heart is, the Bible tells us, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it? Right? Jeremiah 17 says, I try the heart even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For what the mouth speaks, what the heart is full of. We fear to be tested because we fear a negative outcome, and or we're afraid of why God is doing the testing. Why does God test us? Well, we know. Example in school, it's to see what we've learned, what has been taught. And there are teachers who make tests exceptionally difficult, trying to fail students. I remember my statistics class. I had to sit on the stairs in the lecture hall. The lecture hall fits over 300 students. And we were packed. And it was a compulsory course to take in the area of sociology and dealing with statistics. And this was, anyways, and the professor looked at everybody and he said, just to tell you, everyone, just to let you know that after the first test that I will give you, you will have a seat to sit on. In other words, he's going to weed you out of that. And my goodness, he was right. When I did the test, I remember I sat in the lecture hall and we were, I'm sure we were about maybe 100 of us. And then the next test came and again, we got weeded out. And then we were about 60 of us. And that 60 went on to throughout the course. But it was a challenge, I must say. And it was really frightening. And if it put the fear in you, that was a fearful thing. God is love. and he wants us to succeed. And when he tests us, he wants to see if our faith in him is real. And if we fall short, he takes pleasure in teaching us so that we can pass the next time. When our faith proves genuine, he can reward us. Our faith in God is precious to him. And the Bible puts it this way in 1 Peter, your faith will be like gold, just as I said, that has been tested in a fire. And these trials will prove that your faith is worth much more than gold that can be destroyed. They will show you, you will be given praise and honor and glory when Jesus Christ returns. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, that it's greater than gold, which even perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. God tests us, yes, because he loves us and wants us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of him. This is why the Bible tells us we can rejoice when being tested. What does he say in James 1? Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters. Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. God will bless you if you don't give up when your faith is being tested. He will reward you with a glorious life, just as he rewards everyone who loves him. So, being tested by God is simply the part of becoming more like him. The more we lean into him, the more grace he can pour on us. Do you understand what I've been talking about, brothers and sisters? I hope so. And so we are going to be talking about this whole thing about, you know, going through trials and temptations. And we'll, you know, some people go through an awful lot, and somebody might say, you know, we have to accept what God gives us. It isn't easy. It's fun to take when things are going well and God allows us to experience joy and an abundant life. But when things go wrangy for us and they go really haywire, and we say, well, why? What did I do? Why do I have to go through this? Brothers and sisters, trust God. Trust him with all your heart and don't ask why. Just thank him that he loves you and he is with you every step of the way. So until next time, brothers and sisters, God bless you, each and every one of you. Thank you for listening to this amazing station called Radio Maria Canada, because it is the best Catholic radio station ever. So God bless you. See you next time here on The Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle, signing off. Bye for now.
I've got no